All right, so, brother, let's talk about 1 Corinthians 5. So this is kind of a famous chapter because it deals with, verse 1 covers it, it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and for such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So this guy is sleeping with his stepmother. And Paul, we can tell, is angry, righteously angry about it. He said, it's reported commonly that there's fornication among you. What does that give us a clue to, brother?
That everyone knows about it.
This ain't no little rumor. It's reported. Can you believe this, what's going on? Yeah, yeah, he's sleeping with his stepmother. Can you believe this? So Paul says, it's reported commonly among you. There's fornication, not even named among the Gentiles. What do you think that means, brother?
Not even the pagan, idolatrous people in the cities around them even name that sin because it's so grievous.
Yeah, they're like, oh man, we're pagans and we do a lot of heinous stuff. I'd never sleep with my stepmother. I mean, this is like wickedness. That one should have his father's wife. And then verse 2, brother, read that for us.
And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you.
All right, so,
from among you.
Yeah, from among you. So when we look at verses 1 and verses 2, one of the themes I want to cover as we go through this is, ready, brother, what do we hear in the streets all the time when we street preach? Thou shouldn't judge. Don't judge.
Right.
Right in the first two verses, do we see Paul making a judgment here?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He's lining up judgment against Corinth for their fornicating man that he says, ye are puffed up. What is that word, puffed up? Puffed up. What does that mean? It means they were, like, boasting about it. Prideful.
Yeah.
Blowing up, inflated, to make proud. I mean, they're puffed up about it. They're like, can you believe that? Wow, this is going on. I mean, I guess I don't... Wow, I got to ponder that. I guess I can't even imagine that. People claiming Christ are puffed up and prideful about a man who's sleeping with his stepmother. That's like sick, if I could use that word. That's like out there. No wonder why Paul says, not even named among the Gentiles.
Yeah, that's like, that is interesting that they're all like puffed up about it. And it was reported commonly, so everyone knew about it, and they're all puffed up about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's strange.
The only thing I can think, and this is a guess, I can't be dogmatic, the only thing I can think about it is they had to know it was sin. The only thing I can think about it is they didn't deal with it and do what they should have did. Put him out, and I think they were probably going, can you believe this? That's hard to believe. Wow, that's something. He's doing that with his stepmother, and Paul's like, wow, you're talking about it. You're puffed up about it, and he's like, you haven't dealt with it, and he goes on to give a prescription on how in the body, excuse me, we're supposed to deal with sin, and he says, you're puffed up and rather not mourned. So they should be grieved and broken over this, right?
Yep.
And then here we go, the judgment, another judgment. He that hath done this deed might be taken from among you. Well, wait a minute. I thought all these churches today, brother, tell us that everybody's big sinners and we don't remove people for sin, that you just kind of let them go and, you know, Jesus will deal with them over time. But Jesus took care of all of his sins, so what makes a difference if he's sleeping with his stepmother?
Yeah, that's wickedness. That sounds like Lutheranism.
Yeah, apparently Paul thought it was serious enough. Verse 3, for I verily, as absent in the body, so Paul's writing this letter, he's not there, but present in spirit, I've judged already. So let me just say, here's judgment. Paul didn't even wait to get there. Paul's going, what? What? I hear people reporting this. You're puffed up about it. I've already made a judgment. Paul didn't wait to get there to go, now let me inspect this and let me see. Paul's making a judgment from long distance and going, I've already made a judgment as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. So I think that's a telling fact. It's like Paul doesn't even say, I'll fix it when I get there. Paul's like, I've already made a judgment.
Yeah, that's true. He's not even there, and the people on the streets tell us, don't judge, don't judge. Well, Paul wasn't even there, and he was judging the body.
Yeah, what he's doing is going by the witnessing, the witness account, eyewitness accounts, apparently. And then verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he names Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and by my spirit, because Paul's saying, I'm united with you, and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is judgment. This is bringing judgment to bear on a New Testament body for sin. And then read verse 5, brother.
To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. This is some serious stuff here. What do you think that means, brother? I don't know if we can be dogmatic 100% on exactly what it means, but you got any ideas?
I was thinking, let's see. Yeah, I mean, that word Satan means Satanas, so he was naming Satan. So
right.
Delivering such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So Satan, obviously, he goes to and fro in the earth. And he knows the churches of God. He knows those who are called out, the ecclesia. So he's basically saying, throw him out of the body. And basically you're losing that association to the ecclesia. And now Satan is basically being like thrown out of the flock almost.
Yep.
And now Satan kind of had free reign with them. Like the wolf can kind of like tear him to pieces until he repents and comes back into the flock, basically.
1 Peter 5:8, Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In this case, Paul is saying, let's turn this guy out, and Satan's going to have his way with him, hopefully to the saving of his soul, that he would be so buffeted. And it kind of makes me think about Paul talking about Satan, him being buffeted by Satan.
Yeah, yep.
Right? So that this guy would be turned over to Satan, but to the saving of his soul. And I think we probably should throw in here, if we read in the book of 2 Corinthians, this man actually does repent and gets restored. So it works. Judging in the body of Christ and putting people out can work, because we have an example right here. This guy repented and got back in the body.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's awesome to hear that, because this was a very grievous sin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so there's forgiveness and all that. Yeah. That he may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So that's the goal, redemption. We always talk about this. Everything we do is redemption. That man, you and I had to separate from a man who turned into a wicked liar very recently, just a few days ago. We had to correct him and tell him his error and show him his errors. The goal is redemption. We want everyone to see the error of their ways and repent of it. If I go into sin, I want a brother to rebuke me and call me out of my sin. The goal is redemption, not to destroy me. Now, in this case, this guy's so deep into this. Apparently, Paul's judgment was there ain't no talking to him saying, maybe you should stop that and, you know, just stop it and you can stay. This guy's into this deep. And Paul's like, throw him out, cut him loose to the saving of his soul. And then verse 6, for your glorying is not good. They're glorying in this. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That reminds me of Galatians 5:9. He says the same thing. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Brother, I think you're familiar with the whole leaven idea, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So the yeast is going to... A little bit of yeast affects a whole loaf of bread. A little bit of sin is going to affect the whole body. And we've seen that. You and I, in our short time together, we've seen how a little bit of sin affects people and affects the body, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. it's imperative that the leaven be purged out. As small as it is, you don't think it could turn into anything, but over time, it does. It's almost like an open door for Satan to kind of like feed things into, basically.
Amen.
If you leave it there.
Amen. Well said, brother. Verse 7, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that's the sin, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So you got to go back to the Torah. They had leaven they used to make raised bread. They had to, at the time of their festivals, get it all out of the corners of their closets, shelves, get it out of everywhere. It was an archetype of us getting out all sin out of our life. Get out the leaven. And I like that. He says, you may be a new lump. So you get that out and purge it out, and you could be a new lump. You could be purified because you're unleavened. Even as Christ, our Passover, he was our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. So all these beautiful connections together here about sin, and Paul's telling us to judge, to put out, and to purify. So we're supposed to be concerned about sin in the New Testament body, putting it out so that we can be pure. Amen?
Amen.
I'm thinking of the word blameless. Second Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That's what we're supposed to be, brother. We're not supposed to be walking around with a whole bunch of willful sin. We're not supposed to walk around with any willful sin. We're going through the book of Revelation right now, verse by verse, and in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus is calling out the ecclesia as the body, saying, you got sin, repent. Turn from that, or you're going to lose your lampstand. So this is an important lesson to us about how we're supposed to function, amen?
Yeah, amen. And a verse that came to mind about purging, 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So purging yourself from that old leaven, absolutely necessary if you want to be a vessel of honor for the Lord.
Amen. Good verse, brother. Good verse. Can you read verse 8 for us?
Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Look at that. Let us keep the feast. And we know later, a few chapters later, it's the Lord's Supper that they're keeping. That's the feast that they're keeping. Not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness. Obviously talking about this man sleeping with his stepmother. But with the unleavened bread. So that's purified bread. So we're like making sure that we're spotless. Of sincerity and truth. I love how he throws truth in there. Truth is so, I know you've noticed this, truth is so underrated in churchianity, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's so underrated in places that claim Christ, yet Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So they're basically undercutting Christ.
Amen.
But yeah, it is underrated in the churches, yeah.
And it's actually the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Goodness, righteousness, truth. Ephesians 5:9.
Yep.
And then so Paul is helping them to see their shame over this man and this perversion that's going on. In this case it's sexual perversion. Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle to not keep company with fornicators. So that's pretty clear, right? We're going to stay away from people. Fornicators would be all sexual sin. It could also be spiritual fornicators, people that would be idolaters. Let's see what that word means, if it's got a broader sense to it. Fornicators. Hold on a second here. Why was it coming up? A man who prostitutes his body, a male prostitute, a man who indulges in unlawful sexual intercourse. So this one is more akin to sexual sin, not necessarily spiritual fornication. So Paul is saying, I wrote unto you in the epistle not to keep company with fornicators. And then 10 he says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you needs be go out of the world. What's he saying there, brother?
Basically, he's like, you. It's almost impossible not to keep company with people that are in the world that are fornicators, covetous, extortioners, idolaters.
We're surrounded by them.
Yeah, we're surrounded by them. So if you were to remove your company from them, you must needs go out of the world because you're never going to get away from that stuff.
Amen. Yeah, good point. Yeah, so he's not saying we pull back from preaching the gospel and knowing and sharing the truth with people of the world that are covetous, fornicators, extortioners. Jesus talked with people that were sinners. He didn't partake in sin with them. He didn't party with them, but he talked to them. But then read verse 11, brother. He goes into the really what he's telling us.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat.
So he clearly is saying you can't leave the worldly people because they're all around you. But clearly you should remove your company from any man that's called a brother, that would be a woman too, obviously, any person, that's a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner. With such one, do not even eat. Have you noticed, brother, churchianity places do the exact opposite. Many of them will separate from the people of the world, go, oh, they're homosexual, oh, they're this or they're that, stay away from them. And then they go to the people in the church system that are full of sin, and they hang out with the sinners in the church system.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. And, yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was listening to this verse. I was like, this is kind of a dagger to the church systems that say, come as you are.
Yeah.
And really they're saying, stay as you are, because we're not supposed to have any company with a brother that holds to sin.
Yeah, ready? You hit a good one. Ready? We're a hospital for sinners. You heard that. You heard that. We're a hospital for sinners. No. No, we're not a hospital for sinners. The true body of Christ is not a hospital for sinners. We are a staging place for saints that repent of their sins and are fighting against it and want help coming out of it. Look what happens to people that practice sin. Paul just did it. He threw them out to Satan.
Yep.
He threw the guy out to Satan. So he's saying you should separate from people that claim Christ that live that way. And verse 12, for what have I ought to do to judge them outside, or judge them also that are without? Do ye not judge them that are within? What does that mean, brother?
Basically, why do we judge those that are without? Don't we judge those that are within the body of Christ?
Exactly. We don't look to the world and go, oh, she's a harlot. Oh, he's a drunkard. He's that. Let's judge them and stay away from them. We go, hey, there's lost people like us before Christ. They need the gospel. Let's preach it to them. And then the people that claim Christ, were to see their ill fruit and judge it and put them out of the body, to call them to repentance, warn them. And isn't the formula in Matthew 18, what did Jesus tell us to do with sin in the body?
I can't remember Matthew 18.
He says, going with, you go to a brother one alone?
Oh, yeah, you go to a brother alone. If he doesn't hear you, you take another brother with you.
Amen.
If he doesn't hear them, you take it before the whole body. If you repent, you throw him out.
You throw him out like a publican. And that's the formula that Jesus gave, and Paul is backing it up here with this man in this sexual sin. Now, I want to say this. I'm going to go to 2 Thess 3. People will say, well, that's because he's sleeping with his stepmother. That's like a really, really heinous thing. Really? Really? Let's go to 2 Thess 3, verses 12, 13, and 14, and 15. Let me read this. Let me tell you what Paul tells you to treat a brother, how to treat a brother in this sin. Watch this. 2 Thess 3, 12 through 15. Now, them that are such, we command you and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ with quietness that they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in doing well. If any man obey not our epistle, our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Read on earlier, he talks about if you don't work, you don't eat, basically, is what he's telling people that won't. Neither did we eat any man's bread. He's talking about men that don't want to work. So if you got lazy brothers, Paul's saying don't even eat with them. So we got sexual sin with your stepmother all the way down to just being lazy. You're still going to get put out of the body.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's another dagger in the don't judge me. Folks, we find out in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah,
amen, brother. Yeah, it's the total opposite. They judge the world, they don't judge the body. Paul says, judge the body, and we don't judge the world. We preach the gospel to the world. And he finishes, amen. Could you read 13 for us? That finishes off the chapter.
But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Yeah, and so let me just say, we had to just separate from somebody. I'll talk about it again. And this person said, you have no grounds to separate from me. We have a person that is rebellious and lying and won't repent of it in many, many, many cases. I have a question, brother. Based upon what we've just read, a man who's sleeping with his stepmother gets put out. A guy who's lazy and won't work gets put out. Do you think an unrepented liar that causes division in the body, do you think it's biblical to put him out and separate from him?
Oh, yeah, and you spoke about rebellion at one point, and you had a study yesterday about rebellion being like idolatry.
Yeah.
And he says right in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10, or with idolaters.
Yeah.
Or like, brother, that's called an idolater, verse 11.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful about that. Like the liars, the idolaters, it's leaven. It is.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking up that word railer real quick. Why isn't that coming up for me? There we go.
Oh, it came up for me.
Yeah, abusive. Abusive. Yeah. Uh-huh. A railer. Somebody that abuses people. Interesting. They also get put out, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah. A reviler. Yeah, that would be a person that could call people names and things like that unjustly. Yeah, so this 1 Corinthians 5 is a great chapter to remember when people say, oh, you can't put me out, or people, the churchianity people say, why are you judging? You're judging the body. Clearly, Apostle Paul is giving us commands and giving us, and there's many places in 2 Timothy 3 and 4 tells us to avoid people in the last days. In 1 Timothy 6, it tells us to avoid people. Matthew 18, it tells us to put those people out. Romans 16, 17 says, mark those who cause divisions by leaving sound doctrine and avoid them. Titus 3 says, a person who's a heretic, warn him once, warn him twice, reject him. The Bible is full of mandates because, brother, if we don't act to get rid of leaven and sin from the body, what's the body going to look like?
Oh, it's going to be all leaven, because you let a little bit in, and then someone's, it's kind of like a snowball effect. Someone says, well, they're doing that, why can't I do this? And
amen.
They're doing that, why can't I do this? And then it'll just snowball into all leaven.
Yeah, and it's going to end up looking just like, we might as well all go back to churchianity.
Yep.
Yeah, and you just did a study how heretics don't like to suffer. People that are in sin and that are heretical, they don't like this body discipline because it puts them out and it causes them great angst. Hey, why did you get put out from all your brothers? I hope this man we're talking about, why did you get put out from your brothers? Oh, well, if he's honest, my lying and my sin. Yeah, that causes you to deal with your sin so you could come to repentance and be redeemed. Because if you don't, and you die in lies and sin, even his theology, he says you'll be lost.
Right. And it's loving to do this. Like, putting this man in sexual sin out of the body, it was loving to do that.
Amen.
And the reason we pull out of the body is not because we hate them, not because we want to see them be destroyed by Satan. That was never Paul's desire to see this man destroyed by Satan, but he wanted his soul to be saved. He wanted him to come to the knowledge of repentance and the truth. So he put him out, and he's like, he wanted that man to be saved. We do the same thing. We put people out of the body, and we implore them to repent and turn from their sin. Their sin is grievous. They're in unrepentant sin. Please turn. And it's never for destruction. We never want people to perish.
Yeah, and you know what? The best way I would put that, when he says, put the man out for to destroy his flesh, and it's the same thing with this man that we put out ready, what we want to do is we want to put them out so they see the cost of their sin. Ready? We want to break them. And that's my prayer. Lord, chastise them, break their will, break them down so they get to the place where they go, oh my sin has cost me grievous. And they repent, and they come flying back to the Lord, and they come flying back from repentance, and they can get their life corrected and right in Christ again. That's the goal of all of this that Paul's doing is here, is redemption, to correct, to purge out the sin, and then reinstate them. In this case, this man, reinstate him into the body.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Awesome, brother. Good chapter to go over. Anything else on 1 Corinthians 5?
Nope, that's it for me.
All right, me too. God be praised. This all be up in the Ecclesia gathering area.